The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a bonus episode of the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lay.
Chris, you had a lot of potential tenants that were kind of wasting your time. Can you tell us what was going on?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, a lot of people have problems where they get a lot of interest in a property, but, you know, a lot of that is, you know, not legitimate. It's just people that are just very quick and easy, just like internet. It's very easy to send a message and inquire about something. You know, so what I do is on Zillow, I require a completed application before I schedule a showing. So that gives me an opportunity to make sure that they're actually interested, they're vested in the property. It also allows me to pre-screen them, just kind of gauge their seriousness and if I'm really, you know, interested in actually renting them the property. But once I get that completed application, I'll schedule a showing. And I usually schedule them about 15 to 20 minutes apart and, you know, three or four in the same little time period. So even if someone doesn't show up, I'm only out that 15, 20 minutes, which isn't that big a deal. I can kill 15 minutes waiting for the next person.
The application that you have them fill out, is that the same application that you would give someone as if they were actually going to apply for your rental?
Correct. Right. So Zillow, when they pull the application or they do the application, it comes with a background check, an eviction report, a credit report. And if there's multiple tenants that are going to be in there, like a husband and wife, each one will have that complete listed report. They'll have a few items that they can fill out, like their income and maybe a little small description or something that they want to add as a comment. So that's also useful in just helping, you know, narrow down the applicants.
If somebody wants to see one of Chris's rental properties, they've got to take the time to fill out an application and also pay the application fee. It seems a little crazy to me that somebody would actually pay an application fee on a property they haven't even seen yet. But this is working out very well for Chris, and it's weeded out a lot of people that probably weren't all that serious about renting the property anyway, and it's left them with a pool of highly qualified applicants, and they're all kind of fighting over the rental property. On today's bonus episode, we're going to see exactly what Chris is doing and how this is all working for him. Joining us on the show today from Tri-Cities, Tennessee, is Chris Fountainow. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Chris. I want to let you know about a really easy way to track your rental income and expenses. It's an accounting software custom made for rental property investors. It takes just seconds to enter an expense or to record that you collected rent. It makes tax time really easy. Just run a report and give it to your tax person and you are done. They're currently offering a free 30-day trial. There's no credit card required, so if you don't like it, there's nothing to cancel. You can learn more and sign up today at rentaltrial.com. That's rentaltrial, T-R-I-A-L, rentaltrial.com. Chris, why don't we start off talking about your portfolio? Can you tell me a little bit about your rentals?
So at this point, I've acquired seven single-family homes. They're all pretty close to each other in the same market. I've been successful in obtaining them because I'm very familiar, because I have a niche in a certain area. So I know what everything's worth. I know when things come available. I have a few connections with people that kind of make me aware of properties as they come available. So I kind of have maybe first pick a litter, if you will.
And what's the neighborhood like?
Well, obviously, with seven different properties, they're a little bit spaced out, but they're all within the same city limits. The area in general, the properties that I target are in decent areas, you know, places that I would live personally. I definitely wouldn't buy a property anywhere that would be considered sketchy or somewhere where I would feel uncomfortable living, because, you know, ultimately someone's going to have to live there, that I'm going to rent out to.
Okay. So, like, would you say they're like B-class properties?
Yeah, I would say between C and B. It just depends on the price point of the property.
Okay, and looking at. And what's your average rent?
I would say because it's a mix of, you know, properties that have appreciated recently and some older things, I would say we're about $1,000 average per property.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. So let's talk about this application process. So this is a full application that they're doing. So you're getting everything from them. Like you're pulling a credit score. Like this is just as if they're applying for the property after they, I guess like most people would get an application after someone saw the property, but you're going through this whole process before the showing, right?
Yeah. So thinking it from the tenant's perspective, you know, the commonplace thing is that they find a property they're interested in, they are required to go to that specific property manager or what have you and to fill an application with them. They charge them a fee and they have to go around to 2, 3, 4, 5 different places filling out these applications. And, you know, it's easy to rack up a bunch of fees, and tenants don't have a lot of, you know, disposable income to be racking up just trying to find a place to live. So what I like to do is I like to go through Zillow. Zillow offers a service for $29 that pulls a credit report, a background check, an eviction report. And it also allows them to, you know, kind of customize it, filling out a few blanks that, you know, you would verify on your own if you want to proceed forward with, you know, them being your tenant or just kind of narrowing it down. As far as income, you know, personal comments, work history, previous residences, things like that. Those are kind of the fill in the blanks that they do that you would have to do your due diligence to verify. But it's definitely useful information. So once you get that application is when I schedule the showing. But the good thing about the application process through Zillow is that even if for whatever reason they're not selected, because ultimately we're going to have to pick one of them, you know, sometimes people message me like, why didn't I get the property? Is I would love to rent it to everyone, but I have a property. I don't have 8 units available for rent. So they're able to take that $29 application and apply that to as many listings on Zillow within a 30-day period. So they're not out. It still holds value even if I'm not the one to select them.
Right. Now, as long as they can use that application with other landlords, as long as those other landlords are also using the Zillow application process, right?
Correct. And Zillow is a very popular tool. I mean, at this point, you know, it's a mainstay in any kind of real estate transaction, you know, from purchasing to renting. A lot of people will pull and search on Zillow for things. So especially here, I mean, I guess it's more kind of area specific, but it's a great tool here at least.
Sure. And so they're not paying you anything. They're paying Zillow for the screening.
Correct. I don't receive any money. It's just purely through Zillow that's collecting that $29 application fee.
Right.
So,
do you ever get any pushback from tenants that they want to see the property before they pay?
Oh, of course. You know, people would say something like that, you know, I really don't want to be out that money if I'm not interested in the property.
Right.
And that's when I kind of try to explain to them, you know, exactly what I just said about, you know, that it still holds value. You'll be able to share that with other properties on Zillow. And that typically kind of resolves that. They're like, oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. You know, that can save me a lot of money because typically these people have, you know, already had this experience of trying to find properties multiple times. So, you know, that typically just kind of, you know, resolves that issue. And if people aren't serious enough to pay the $29, that kind of weans them out from my pool of, you know, tenants. Because, I mean, if you don't really have that much interest, then you're really not, you know, going to be willing to pay the $29. And I don't really want to waste my time showing you the property.
That's
either,
true.
So.
That's true. When I have a vacancy and I want to get as many applicants as I can to select the best person, do you ever feel like maybe you've got a smaller tenant pool to pick from because some people just aren't going to pay the $29. Like, so do you feel like you're maybe limiting yourself on any level?
I mean, I'm sure obviously if I'm just going for a maximum amount of interest in the property and the maximum number of showings, you know, yeah. I mean, if I just wanted to rack up as many showings as possible and just kind of go and forego that application process and how I do things. Yeah, I'm sure I'd get a lot more people and some people that genuinely would end up following their own process. But, you know, I don't want to play anyone else's game. I'm in it for myself. I'm trying to play the game that I know how to play. I'm not trying to leave this whole, you know, variables of how people want to interact with me and choose to do business with me.
Yeah, this is how you do it. I think that's great. And so the net effect of this is you're getting maybe a couple of less people seeing the property as you would otherwise, but everyone that is actually making it to a showing is actually qualified. Like, so you're not wasting your time showing the property to unqualified people.
Yeah. Well, it's also important, you know, that you don't discriminate. Cause I mean, obviously there's a lot of, you know, consumer protection laws in place with real estate. So, I mean, if they fill out an application, even if they're not a strong applicant, someone that I really wouldn't strongly consider renting it to, if they fill out the application process, I will give them a showing time. You know, it's so that getting rid of that whole, you know, possible discrimination issue, you know, that all kind of goes to the wayside as long as you follow and treat everyone equally, you know, with your processes.
Sure. Sure. So then is there, once you approve somebody, like you've showed the property to them, they like it, you like them, everything seems like it's going to work out. Is there any additional screening you do, or is everything pretty much done at that point?
Well, just to dive a little bit deeper on how I do things. So when I do list the property, I typically will leave the application pool open for anywhere between maybe 3 to 4 days to maybe a week. And that gives me enough time to have a, you know, a good amount of interest, applications, showings, and so on and so forth, because a lot of people don't check Zillow every day religiously, you know, so you might be missing out on some good tenants just because, you know, that night they had something to do. They had plans that night and they checked the next night and you already rented it out to somebody that, you know, wasn't your first pick, you know, but you missed out on a great tenant just because you were too quick, you know, on the gun, if you will. So I like to leave it open for a few days and get a lot of interest in the property, because typically tenants are also looking at other properties. You know, they're not just betting everything and putting all their eggs in one basket that they'll get your property. So sometimes you'll end up selecting the person after a few days of doing your process. Like, this is a strong candidate. I really like them and I want to rent it to them. You reach out to them and they say, hey, you know what? I really appreciate you, you know, your interest and, you know, wanting to rent it to me, but I actually already found another place. And you're like, well, you know, what do I do at that point? And if you just literally, you know, waited for that one person and pulled the trigger and you already took the listing down and all that kind of stuff, it looks really bad on your part if you're having to fire the whole thing back up. So I like to have a good pool of applicants because I don't necessarily know that the first person I choose is going to be the one that's actually going to follow through. Are they going to give me the payment on time? Have they already found another property? You know, are they dragging their feet? So I want to have at least 3 or 4 people that I would rent to, and I can just go down the list if the first one doesn't work out.
Right. Okay. And now, but before we wrap things up, tell me about the showing. So you've got 15-minute time blocks. Like, can you walk me through how that works?
Yeah. When I schedule the showing, you know, I do kind of do a little Q&A with them and ask them if there's any concerns that they might have with the property or any questions or anything like that, so that we can get some of those, you know, easy to answer questions or things that they might want to know that gives me an opportunity to kind of find out, you know, if they're like, you know, what school zone is it in, or, you know, what's the neighborhood like, or is there any parks nearby? You know, I know generally, you know, the information because everything I have is it's such a you know, confined area, but I mean, it gives them an opportunity to, you know, ask me questions that we don't necessarily have to hit the redundant, easy questions while we're there. Now it's more about the actual property. You know, they may ask me, you know, how's the back deck? You know, what condition this is? Do you have any additional pictures or something like that prior to the showing? But I typically don't entertain those kinds of things. When we're actually at the property, they're pretty much just walking around, looking at the layout. They're kind of picturing in their head, hey, this is where my bed's going to be. That's where I'm going to put my TV. They'll, you know, they might have a few questions that they wouldn't even think to ask me until they're actually at the property. But essentially, I just show them the necessities. I ask them to walk around and explore, open doors and do whatever. And just kind of, you know, be in the distance, just, you know, be there in case they have any questions or concerns that they want to ask me. But I just let them kind of roam around the property in general.
Chris, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. And thank you so much for checking out this bonus episode. I'll be back with a regular interview on Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.